Monster Movie Media presents. And welcome to episode 51 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, Annie from Annie and Danny's Fast Pass podcast makes her triumphant return to Creepy Kingdom as she shares with us tales of a haunted mansion knockoff ride that once existed in Kings Island in Ohio. This attraction was Phantom Theater. Alrighty, I would like to welcome back to Creepy Kingdom after such a long absence, Miss Annie Clark from Annie and Danny's Fast Pass podcast. Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Super. Woo. The listeners have been fiending for your return.
I'm sure.
And you were even addressed in a listener email that came in.
I don't believe you when you say you always say that, and I don't believe it.
Well, that was real. It was. I did read it on the show. It was addressed to me and Annie. If you're lurking, is what it said.
Oh, I missed this.
Yeah. So,
what episode was that?
I don't recall, but I did say that you're always lurking. So
that is true.
So, but anyways, you're back, and you. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I'll cut out this rumble. And you're ready for action. Yeah, you didn't.
As always.
Because you're going to be sharing a little special treat there. You're going to be talking about a former attraction that is can be argued as a haunted mansion knockoff at a amusement park near where you grew up. So
yes.
I'm going to let you kind of take the floor here.
All right, well, it's I actually kind of think in retrospect that ripoff is a bit of a strong word. I think a better word would be like homage almost.
Okay.
Like it's sort of lovingly borrowed. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So
okay.
The ride is called Phantom Theater. And it was at Kings Island. It opened in 1991.
Kings Island.
Oh yeah,
what is
Kings
that?
Island.
What the heck is that? This isn't a Kings Island podcast.
Kings Island is the theme park here in Cincinnati. It opened in 1972, and it's gone through a lot of management changes over the years. Paramount bought it in 96. I think, and then
okay.
So Cedar Fair then bought it later, and Paramount bought it in 92, and then Cedar Fair bought it in 2006. Before that, it was Taft Broadcasting.
Well, did they have like rides themed to Paramount movies?
They did. It was sort of loose, but still more than there is today. And all of the rides were like all the names have been changed now. But for instance, they opened a ride called Top Gun. That was like an inverted coaster with, but like when you were in the queue, they would play Danger Zone and Take My Breath Away the whole time.
That's awesome.
And they had like this like control room thing you would walk through with bomber jackets and stuff. It was pretty cool. And they had like the logo, you know. And then when the cars would leave, they had all these smoke effects, so you felt really cool.
You were blasting off right on.
Yeah. Those are like the little things that I've seen go away, like at the end of Paramount's ownership and into Cedar Fair's ownership. You don't go through the room with the bomber jackets and flags and stuff anymore. Like, they just have television screens in all the queues now with, like, music videos. And it used to be Tim Allen stand-up. I don't think they have that anymore. Wow. It's been a while since I went with any regularity, but there used to be a lot of Tim Allen, yeah. And, but, like, the just simple things like smoke effect when you left the station is gone. I don't know.
So just, they cut out the little pluses, what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I take issue with. I don't know. As a Disney fan, I guess I expect these things more than your lowest common denominator theme park visitor. But anyway, Phantom Theater was really cool. So the space that it was in Kiddyland, which was Hanna-Barbera land up until like a long time. It was sort of shared. It was Hanna-Barbera for a long time, and then it sort of shared the space with Nickelodeon characters when Paramount was there. And then once Cedar Fair took over, the whole thing is Planet Snoopy now.
Okay.
Which, not my favorite, but I guess it could be worse. But anyway, so when the park first opened, it was Enchanted Voyage was there, which I haven't been able to find a video ride through of that. I don't know if you were.
I did find one. I didn't watch it yet, but there is one.
Oh, interesting.
I'll have to send it.
I know. From 72 to 82, it was Enchanted Voyage, which was like a boat dark ride, where you went in like a giant TV is what it looked like. And then you would go through like, I know, like Hanna-Barbera characters, like, but like not even the ones you would think of. Like, it was like Wacky Races and.
Wow.
Banana splits and
that's
stuff.
Amazing. This ride sounds so awesome.
And people might know Kings Island too because the Bradys went there, and I believe the Partridge Family did as well. Anyway, so then in the 82 it became the Smurfs Enchanted Voyage, which was all Smurfs. And when I was looking online, they sort of implied that it was only open during like holiday times. Like, they used to have a thing called Winterfest in the winter, obviously. And because, you know, unlike Disney, the park's only open during the summer
months.
Oh, yeah,
it's not during the winter, yeah, at all, usually, right?
Right. So they would have a thing called Winterfest, and it was open during... But I really remember riding it, and I don't remember going to this. But, you know, again, it closed in 91, so I was, like, 4 is my memory of riding it. So who knows when the hell I was on it.
Yeah, I could have been on it. Who knows?
But I know my parents hated it. Because it just plays the freaking Smurfs going, la, 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 the whole time. But, so it was a boat ride. They wanted to redo it. They didn't want a boat ride anymore because of the upkeep. They wanted a track ride. What do you call it when you're not saying a boat ride? I don't know. Any case.
Non-boat ride.
So it's sort of interesting, the designers. R&R Creative designed it. They also designed another ride at Kings Island called Adventure Express. And that's another one that used to have a lot of cool effects that just aren't on anymore. Used to have... it's a roller coaster mine train kind of thing, but you would go through these caverns. It was sort of Indiana Jones-esque with, like, skulls and spikes popping through the wall. And,
right on.
And there, at the end, there was a big temple guard guy, you know, and he'd go, "You have disturbed a forbidden temple." Like, none of that works anymore at all. Like, I don't think people even remember that it used to move, but anyway. So R&R Creative are these two guys, Rick Bastrop and Richard Farron, and they had worked at Disneyland, and they left to create their own company, ride company. And it's like the coolest story. It's like what all of us would love to do. They just like left and started in their garage making like ride maquettes. So they just started making up rides and selling them. And
wow,
that was it. It's pretty awesome.
What years were they working at Disneyland?
I don't know. Good question. When they first started their company, though, they were still working there as, like, security guards or something. I'm not quite sure what capacity.
Oh, so they weren't Imagineers. They just literally worked at Disneyland.
I don't know. It's sort of unclear. It's hard to find. And their website isn't, like, working correctly at this point in time. And they don't have, like, a Wikipedia page. So I was kind of going off of, like, what little tidbits I could find from, like, they had, like, an NPR interview, but any interview they have is mostly about a specific ride, so you just glean these little bits. But in any case, and the animatronics were done by AVG, who also did animatronics for the original Star Tours. They did the animatronics for the E.T. Adventure at Universal, and the Cat in the Hat, Ripsaw Falls, and the Bilge Rat Barges at IOA. They were pretty
top-notch,
you know,
stuff there, yeah.
I know. They weren't no slouches.
Nope.
And then the cars themselves for this ride were basically dune buggies. I sent you a picture. I mean, it's basically a dune buggy, but it has like a little flare on the front to make it look sort of theater seat-y, I guess.
I mean, they could have made it less dome-looking, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like straight a dune buggy. But the interesting thing about that is the cars were built by Morgan Manufacturing. Now, ThemeParkUniversity.com talked to Rick Bastrop about the ride. They incorrectly say that it was Morgan Manufacturing who designed the Haunted Mansion Omnimovers. Which is obviously not correct since Morgan didn't start till 1983. But what is correct is that the person who started Morgan Manufacturing is Dana Morgan. He was the president of Arrow for a while and the son of one of the founders of Arrow who did create the Haunted Mansion ride vehicles. So kind of not exactly right, but sort of right.
Right. Well.
But anyway, so it was like a blatant ripoff. The main difference is that the loading on Haunted Mansion, you know, is like a treadmill, whereas this was a turntable, more like a Spaceship Earth.
Okay.
And they did that. The cars are more spaced out than they were with Haunted Mansion because they wanted more time to, like, time the effects between cars. And also the load and unload are in the same area to save space. But there are 55 cars. It costs $3.5 million to build, which I feel like that's kind of a lot for a kiddie dark ride at a...
Is it 92?
Yeah.
For a local amusement park. What's the average cost of the rides there? Do you know?
I don't know. It would be way off now anyway because they build these huge, like, roller coaster things.
Right.
Yeah, it's very much, you know, Cedar Park is about coasters. I feel like it's a coaster park at this point, which is not my thing. But anyway, so Phantom Theater closed in the end of the 2002 season and was replaced with Scooby-Doo and the Haunted Castle, which was like Buzz Lightyear kind of shoot 'em, you shot at things. And then now it's just Boo Blasters on Boo Hill.
So it was Scooby-Doo, but then they took out Scooby-Doo and left
yeah,
it?
Yeah, basically. I don't know. I don't.
Have you experienced Boo Blasters on Boo Hill?
I can't recall if I have or not, to be honest. I've only been to Kings Island since, I mean, in the past like 10 years, I've only been there a handful of times. It just isn't, it's not worth the money for me to get. My mom was going to get me a pass for Christmas one year, and I said okay, because I thought, well, if I'm getting it for free, I'll go up there and see what's going on. Just hang out, but paying the price of admission to go not ride the roller coasters.
So you're not into the thrill rides is what you're saying?
No, I don't do. I can't.
I didn't know that about you.
No, I can't. Rock and roller coaster is about as intense as I can get. They have two I would ride the Top Gun. Gosh, it's called Flight Deck now, I believe.
Lame.
That I would ride. It's about it's about like a minute long, though. It's a really, really short ride. And yet back in the 90s, we were all waiting in line for it for like hours.
Because it was Top Gun.
One-minute ride.
Yeah. I want to ride it right now.
Like they have some flat rides, like a monster ride, a scrambler, they have bumper cars. I don't know. It just makes me sad.
Because you know what used to be there, so it's kind of a letdown.
Exactly. I feel like it gives me perspective as a Disney fan to see how much a park can actually change. You know, they don't realize how good they've actually got it, I think, a lot of them.
Oh, Disney fans, you mean, that don't like the changes? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's still not on the level of this, how much it has changed over, you know, even just since its opening. It's like a completely different park, basically. I mean, you still got a fountain and the Eiffel Tower at the end. You can still... But the Beast... Okay, well, the Beast makes it all worth it. I shouldn't downplay the awesomeness of the Beast. The Beast is the... You know, I don't know if it still holds this record or not, but for the longest time, it was the world's longest wooden coaster. I don't know if it still is or not. But it's awesome, in any case. So...
All right, the Beast.
You can't let me ramble this long, man. You gotta reel me back in.
I know, let's go back in. The Beast is awesome. It may be a record holder or not, but back to the Phantom Manor. It was opened from 92 to 2002. And so you went on this attraction, which we're going to get into the details of it in a moment, but did you immediately see this as a Haunted Mansion homage, as you stated, or was it in retrospect that you realized?
It was definitely not until high school, when I was really getting into Disney, that I realized it, and then it's been in retrospect that I've realized how much it is.
Okay, so you didn't realize it when you first went on it. You weren't that into Disney at that point.
No. Well, I mean, it opened in 92, and I was born in 86, so... I was a little young to be making those sorts of connections.
Oh, come on, man. Never too young to be a fangirl.
True. But, yeah, no, I didn't. And I didn't go back to Disney for a long time until I was, gosh, I think I was, like, 15 or 14 the next time I went to Disney after going when I was 6. So.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that's what sort of had reignited my Disney... Because I was more of just a theme park person for a while. Like, I was big on the theme park insider boards and stuff back in when I was in, you know, like 98, 99. And then I took a trip to Disney and I was like, whoa, it's like Phantom Theaters everywhere. Everything is awesome here.
Yeah, it's just like Phantom Theater.
That was still, too, when I could sort of ride a thrill ride and not be sick for 5 hours afterwards. So, but anyway, so yeah, I definitely didn't realize it until later. And I think that's part of the reason I'm so sad that it's gone, is I would really like to ride it with more of that knowledge in my head.
Right, with your Disney goggles on.
Yeah, exactly.
Alrighty. So, let's take a ride, huh?
Yeah. It's such a shame there aren't better videos on YouTube. I wish we could show people something better than what there is, but there just aren't.
Well, we're going to have to create the theater of the mind with your descriptions and memories.
Yes.
And we'll put a link up to the video in the show notes so you can still
there are
get a
some
good
photos online, too. So maybe if they listen and look at photos with little snippets of audio. I think one of the problems is the audio on the ride was turned up very loud. So when you watch a video, you're hearing, like, people screaming from another scene in the scene you're watching, and it just becomes this big garbled mess. But
yeah,
anyway.
Plus the quality of the cameras.
Terrible.
Not that high. Yeah, for the videos that are online.
Oh, my God. All right, so the outside of the building is supposed to look like this old abandoned theater, and they didn't go, like, too over the top, I think, since it was, you know, it was, when you walked into Kiddyland, it was pretty much the first thing you saw to your left, so I don't think they wanted to, like welcome to Kiddyland, I'm going to scare the crap out of you right away.
Why was this in Kiddyland? I guess because of the former attraction was a child. Yeah, that's just.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it wasn't really. It was more cartoony than scary, but I could see how it would scare some, like, littler kids. Mm. But it's the same thing, too, that a dark ride is a kiddie ride.
Right, sure.
To a lot of people.
As opposed to the thrill rides, yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So, So the idea is that it's this old theater where the you know, denizens of the theater. It's never said how they died, but they have died and they refuse to leave. And they just keep performing. Hmm. And their leader is the maestro, who I think looks like a blue version of Gene Rayburn from Match Game.
Okay.
And so you go in, the queue is like this big open room, and he's up on the balcony, an audio animatronic of the maestro, and he's playing his organ. So we're getting the creepy vibe already. Mm-hmm. And he's basically taunting you, being like, oh, you want to come in? You know, he does lots of, like, there's lots of maniacal laughter throughout this ride.
Right.
And so, you know, he sort of sets the scene, and then we get our first Haunted Mansion ripoff, which, as you're moving, there's a hallway that takes you from the room with the maestro and the switchback queue up to the loading area. And that hallway has the busts, you know, where you have the concave busts where you have the effect that they're watching you as you walk past.
Yeah, they follow you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's our first Haunted Mansion ripoff, or a nod, depending on your...
I think you need to pick a side and go with it. I think it's ripoff, but you think it's homage.
Rip-off. But I think ripoff has this negative connotation to it that isn't necessarily there. I don't think they were like... stealing it. They just were stealing it.
All right.
Anyway. All right. So then you move into the load area, and that has the Doom Buggies, so that's your second. In quick succession, you get two Haunted Mansion ripoffs. But it's, yeah, it's cool. I like it. Anyway.
Well, I guess, well, just to cut you off with the whole, saying ripoff sounds negative, but obviously you enjoyed this ride because it was still fun, and it was ripping off, quote unquote, something that's really awesome. So,
right.
You know, but it wasn't, you know, there wasn't an original, they stole other ideas, you know, basically. I mean, literally taking the bust, I mean, it could have been anything that followed you, but they had to be bust. They literally did Doom Buggies when they could have shaped the cars to be anything.
Right.
So
right.
That is kind of ripping it off, you know? Like,
right. Well, I feel like, too, in my head, when I think of ripoff, like, I think of doing the same thing, but not as good, kind of.
Right. Sure.
When they didn't really do that, they just borrowed elements that they liked. But yeah, I'll continue to use the word ripoff. I think everyone's clear on my feelings about it. So you go right into it. We've got the maestro. He's pulling back the curtain to let us into the theater. And he's continuing to taunt us, being all like, you know, you're not afraid, are you? And then laughing at us. And then he screams, what are you looking at us? I don't know. The voice acting, I just think, is really fun. They're just such lively audio animatronic. I don't know. For a local theme park, I just think it was so well done watching it again. So then this is arguably a Haunted Mansion ripoff. Then we move into this Hall of Portraits, where they have the effect of the portrait is a scrim, and then the lights will come on behind the portrait to reveal, like, the ghost version of the person in the portrait and how they died. Like, they're all, you know, one guy's like, whoa, and falls. Just different. One guy's holding, like, a bomb. And it's the way the portraits are done, and then they reveal how that person died, is very reminiscent of the stretching room.
Right. The whole that concept of... everything looks safe, but then it's really bad.
Yeah, and having these sort of, like, staunch, official, yet a bit cartoony-looking portraits, and then have them reveal, you know, something more sinister.
Right, right.
It's cool.
I thought it was a cool effect when I watched it.
Yeah, it's very cool. And it's another, you know, it's a ripoff, too, in that it's a very simple effect that has a good payoff for how simple it is, I think.
No, I thought it was cool. I mean, it's also reminiscent of the changing portraits as well. So
yeah.
But it's cool. I like it.
I don't know. It reminded me of stretching. But anyway, so then we go, and there's an usher, and he's like a legit kind of ghost where he doesn't have legs. He's just hovering there. Mm. And this is achieved by having him coming out of the wall with a pole in his back.
Wow, way to ruin the magic.
I know. I remember as a kid feeling very, like, special for having noticed the pole. But anyway, so the usher reappears another time in the ride, and he sort of gives you this sense of urgency. He's constantly telling you to hurry up. Like, you know, you got to keep moving. Hurry along now. You know, stuff like that. It's just well done, I think, story-wise. So then we go, and there's a guy at a, like a, what do you call it, a light board, I guess?
Right.
And he turns the lights out on us and then shines his flashlight. And he tells us we're not allowed backstage and that we shouldn't be playing around back there.
That's cool. I like that.
And so then the next scene is sort of funny, I think. It's this big guy, like stagehands, I guess. And it's this big guy, and he's pulling up and down this little skinny guy who's caught in the ropes, hanging upside down. And he keeps pulling the ropes to make him go up and down. And in all the, when I was like looking up some little recaps of the ride online, everybody was like, stagehands who are obviously out of practice as they've, like, their view of it, take on it, that scene was very lighthearted. Whereas my take on it growing up was that the big guy was mean and had done it on purpose and was like torturing the little guy because he's got this big grin on his face. And the little guy's like, whoa. So I don't know what's going on in that scene.
I would think that you interpreted it correctly. I mean, as far as everything else that's happened in the ride, why would they like, just show people that are bad at their jobs as a gag? Like, I don't think...
they didn't seem bumbling to me. It seemed more malicious. Mm-hmm. But so then after that, we get into the performers who we saw in the portraits. And this is all... I missed the dressing rooms too. Before the light board guy, you go down this hallway where there are all these dressing room doors with all the performers behind them. Wah wah. Good one, Annie.
That's all right. Let's slide.
So after the rope guy, we move into the everyone rehearsing their acts. And so the performers, I think it's funny, you know, again, this kind of detail, they gave all the performers, like, identities and personalities, kind of. Everyone always, I really feel like all the animatronics just had this extremely, like, nervous, uncomfortable, tortured look on their face.
Wow.
That just made it creepy. It's, like, something you don't really get necessarily just watching it. But I always had that. But anyway, so first we see Hoodalini, who is the magician. And he's got this, I think this is one of the coolest parts, he's got this, like, evil rabbit he's pulling out of a hat. It's this, like, big giant rabbit with light-up devil red eyes. And for some reason, the track moves up. Like, you go up a little, like, 3-foot hill here. I never understood the point of that.
To get closer to them or something?
I don't know, not really. You just, because you're moving to the side, you just kind of move up.
Oh, it's just an incline.
Yeah, I never understood the point of it. I only remember it because towards the end of this ride, you would get stuck there pretty much 100% of the time that you rode it. But anyway, so you got him with his big creepy, and he's got some, like, playing cards spinning around him and stuff. And then after him is the opera singer, Hilda Bovine.
Nice.
Who, she too is a Haunted Mansion ripoff.
Yep, from the graveyard.
Yes, and it's the exact same thing. She's got a mirror next to her, like a full-length mirror, and she sings her note, and the mirror cracks. And when you watch the video, you can hear her singing her note, like, through the whole ride. So after we pass those two, it's the usher again. He's telling us to hurry up, that the lights are dimmed for the final performance. And we turn the corner, and here's the big, huge, glaring Haunted Mansion ripoff. It's this glass-paneled windows where you're looking down over a big Pepper's Ghost effect to see the final performance.
Wow. So it's like a stage?
Yeah, it's meant to be a stage. There are, like, people up in balconies, but, you know, it's kind of a mess because you've got an opera singer and a guy in a cannon and a magician and all these people at once. So,
so there's nothing to focus on, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not quite as, like, they're not just all sort of everywhere. It's kind of a mess. And there are no good the video just doesn't capture it at all. You can't see it. There's no good photographs of it. It kind of sucks. But, yeah, it was cool. They had people, you know, up in the box seats on the side watching. You know, they'd have one guy upside down with his legs kicking, stuff like that. But it's just a direct ripoff of the ballroom scene in Haunted Mansion, effects-wise. But, and it's not quite as grand as the ballroom scene was. But it's still
ballrooms
cool.
are grander by nature.
True. Very true. So after you've seen the final performance, Maestro is back. And he's all like, did you think you'd be allowed to leave after you heard my music? He's always saying that, like, oh, you want to see the theater? Do you? Thought you'd be able to leave, did you? He's kind of like a jerk. It's kind of awesome.
A little
though.
Jerky vibe.
So then he's like, I don't think so. And he's got this, like, sheet music swirling above his head, and there's a piano next to him playing itself. It's cool. So then we get into the prop room, and it's kind of like, I feel like after we see the big show, it all starts to just get scarier for the sake of being scary instead of trying to tell a story.
Oh, so the story's over, basically, is what you're saying.
Pretty much, yeah. So, I mean, prop room, that's basically, like, excuse to do whatever we want.
Right.
So, first there's a bloody dress. Sort of reminds me of the bride and, you know, it's a white tattered dress that's hovering around. That. Then there's a gargoyle who says the hilarious line, we haven't had many victims, I mean visitors, in some time. And he assures us that gargoyles are vegetarians and that we shouldn't worry, but I don't think we should believe him. But anyway, the gargoyle was a pretty cool audio animatronic. It was a big, fat stone thing that talked. And then we pass a mummy for some reason.
Yeah, I didn't get it. When I was watching the video, I was like, I don't understand how the mummy came into this, but I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, it's a prop room, so they have a prop mummy.
That's still part of the prop room?
Yeah.
Where the mummy was?
That's why there's a gargoyle and all this weird stuff. Hey, I said stuff.
Very good. Very proud of you.
So we passed the mummy. I love his, like, stereotypical mummy, like, noise, too. So he's creepy, though. He's got all this green light and stuff.
Yeah, I love the light behind it. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool-looking mummy, for what it's worth. And then there's the centurion. That has, like, a face projection effect. Do they have that in Haunted Mansion? They do, don't they? With the little statue at the end.
Oh, that's also what the singing busts are.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. It's the same effect. Mm-hmm. And he's all, you know, halt, I am a centurion. And then there, in this little scene, like right after the centurion, seems to be forgotten on a lot of websites I was reading for some reason. I don't know if they just skipped over it or what. But there's, like, a cat on a chest, and he makes a noise, like he's, you know, like a hissing noise. Mm-hmm. And then a big, giant mouse pops up from behind the thing, and the cat goes, you know, scared cat noise. But, like, again, it doesn't really make sense. I don't know why there's a giant mouse scaring this cat. Mm. And then right after that, there's a window with a fire. It's all on fire for some reason. I'm not sure why. But they have kind of a cool fire effect. It's not real fire. It's the whole blowing lit plastic thing. You know, where they have the, like, fire-colored plastic blowing around.
Right. And it's blowing, yeah.
So then, yeah, we think we're almost free. We go around the corner. There's some, like, pipes and things. Another place I remember having gotten stuck about a trillion times sitting behind these pipes. Then the very last scene before you exit is it's these two guys in this boiler room loading coal into a furnace. And they, you know, they go, going someplace, how about some heat? And then they would open up the furnace and this hot air would blow on you. And then they also sort of ripped off, as you're leaving, after you exit through this sort of like wooden hallway thing. And you would hear the maestro, you know, saying, you'll be back, stuff like that. And very much, very similar to the dialogue you hear when you exit the Haunted Mansion.
Hurry back.
Yeah, exactly. Except crazy with crazy laughter. I'm not even going to try to imitate his crazy laughter. But yeah, he's all, you know, you'll be back. I don't know. And that's the end of it. So there's a, what were there, six different, very specific Haunted Mansion ripoffs in there?
At least, I wasn't keeping track of
it.
But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, arguably no doubt that that's what it is.
Right, yeah.
But going back to this furnace scene, I that's kind of cool that you felt heat. That's not something that was very common at that time, at least. I mean, some more current attractions that do that, but that's a little innovative. I'll give him points for that.
Well, that was one of the first things to go when the ride. I feel like this is a downer now that I've talked about how cool it was. But by the time they closed it, it had fallen into such disrepair. And of course, they cite, you know, oh, the upkeep on the audio animatronics is getting too expensive, da-da-da. Well, I think it was too expensive because you didn't do any of it. And then they were broken. Like, I mean, it slowly fell into this. It would be like, you know how people will complain about, like, things not working on Splash Mountain, for instance. It would be like if they just never did anything. And it just kept getting worse and worse until nothing was working. Oh, and you were like, just close it already. Just close it. It kind of got to that point, you know. Maestro's, his jaw was clicking almost louder than his audio.
Like, wow.
And it would, I mean, things, you know, near the end, when you went past the pipes, there used to be smoke coming out. That was gone. When you went past the boiler, it would blast you with cold air, which, I mean, they should have just turned the air off.
Yeah, that's
at that
weird.
Point. You know, you would get stuck. I mean, literally any time you rode it, you would be stuck on it for some amount of time. I never had to, like, evacuate it or anything, but...
Why
you
was
know,
it getting
like,
stuck?
I have no idea. I know it wasn't a load issue because I don't think it was accessible, like, handicap accessible. And, like I said, the cars were pretty spaced out, so I don't think it was that. I'm not quite sure why it would get stuck. But, you know, things just didn't work. The piano that played itself stopped. The sheet music swirling stopped. You know, everything just slowly.
That's so sad.
It really was. And so, you know, it was kind of all right. They, when it ended, I wish they had gone through and done, like, a, you know, a nice video of it before they closed it. I know, I'm not the only one who was a big fan of this ride. There are lots of people who recognized it as being something special. And I noted, too, they said for the 2000 Kings Island season, it ranked 6th out of 10 as far as the top 10 rides.
Wow.
And there were over 900,000 riders.
And that was 2 years before it closed, so that's pretty popular.
Yeah, well, and for, you know, like a four-month season, that's a pretty large amount of people to go on a ride. So, but what was the point? Oh, it just, they've kept some of the figures around, and they'll pull them out for the Halloween thing they do every year.
Do you have like a haunt, like a Halloween rides type?
I think it's called Halloween Haunt now. I went a couple years ago, and it sucked. But I'm not a big haunted house person anyway. But it was more the fault of the people I was with, not the, the thing itself.
Oh, we won't go with them.
So I haven't been back to that. I really liked it when I was younger. I went every year when it was Fear Fest when it first started. I went every year then. And then, you know, not quite sure why I haven't gone. I guess, well, my husband won't go in a haunted house for one thing.
Yeah.
So there's that. But one cool note about for the 1999 Fear Fest, they did, I feel like overlay is too strong of a word, but they did Phantom Theater where they made the characters look scarier. They added like some scary effects to it, and they had live actors that would come like rap on your doom buggy with chains and stuff.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
And scare you. It was kind of cool. I remember that. I remember being slightly disappointed. They called it the Museum of Horrors. I think they probably could have gone scarier, but it was still pretty cool that they did that. Just something different.
Right, put forth a little effort.
But anyway, yeah, it really was I don't think it's exaggerating to say it was falling apart towards the end, but...
When's the last time you wrote it? Do you remember?
No, but it probably was the last year because I was still going pretty regularly then, and I was in high school.
That was 2002.
Yeah, I would say like 2000 was the last year that I was going every summer all the time. Because God, my friend and I, all through middle school, that's what we did in the summer. At least once a week, we were up there. So,
that's what's hopping in Cincinnati, huh?
Yeah. You know, it probably was there too, because I probably did write it its last year, because that was the year we did the, you know, those karaoke booths where you pay money and you do karaoke and they give you a VHS tape?
Yeah, like your own music video, yeah.
Yes, we did that year. And I know I wouldn't have gone and not written it, so.
Well, where can we get a copy of that?
I believe my friend Jenny has it.
Well, let's call
we
Jenny.
We sang I Will Survive. Nice. And it was not only incredibly embarrassing, but it's super awkward to watch because I could see people watching us outside, like, through the thing.
Right, right.
And so the whole time I'm, like, looking outside nervously. Like... But anyway.
Nice and awkward. Back on track here.
But so I probably did write it in its final year, I would guess.
So you did experience on its demise, basically. Yes. What I'm getting at.
Yes. But they'll set up for the haunt. You know, you'll either see little bits of the ride, or a couple of years they've set all the, like, performers up on one of the stages.
That's cool. So it's a little people that remember it can...
Yes, somebody's thinking about us.
Yes, somebody. Somebody cares. Before we leave talking about this, I have to talk about the music.
Yes.
Which, speaking of ripoffs, this should win awards in ripping off.
Yeah, for real.
Because for the most part, it is a blatant ripoff of the Beetlejuice theme.
Yeah, it's got right down to the, like, weird voices going, oh.
Yeah, it's got that. It's so close to it, but I could tell it's just different enough that mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how they pull out. And then it's somehow in the end, it kind of goes in a little bit into the Phantom of the Opera. Not I wouldn't say as blatant as the Beetlejuice one.
Yeah, well, that was one of their inspirations when they were doing it, because Phantom was really popular back then. Obviously, Phantom Theater. I mean, you can tell it's supposed to.
Right, Phantom of the Opera is.
Yeah.
You're in the theater. I get you. Know. I'm sure they wanted to call it Phantom of the Opera. You know.
Probably. But yeah, it's cool music. It was cool on the ride, but it's absolutely total ripoff. I didn't find any information about the music specifically. I wish I had. I'd like to know who is responsible for this particular.
Yeah, someone, some
Elfman
mystery person.
Because
right when it first started, I was like, "Wow, this is kind of Elfman-ish." And then as it went on, I was like, "Wow, this is exactly Beetlejuice."
Yes, it really is. But I feel like we're also used to that now, since they use that music in like one out of every five movie trailers you watch.
Yeah, well, I'm very familiar with it, so yeah, it definitely pops out for sure. It's funny, too, because when it first started, it kind of reminded me a little Danny Elfman-ish. And, of course, it's called Phantom Theater. And as a Disney fan, the first thing when you hear Phantom, I think of Phantom Manor.
Right.
Which is, I was just talking about this yesterday. But in case people don't know, it is a Haunted Mansion-inspired attraction that's in Hong Kong Disneyland. Which, I have watched ride-through videos. I usually don't like to watch ride-through videos, but I feel like the likelihood of me going to Hong Kong is pretty low.
So yeah, I've watched ride-through videos for most of the overseas unique rides. Is that the one with Vincent Price narrating? No?
No, I don't think so.
One of them has Vincent Price.
Well, this ride is opened a few years ago, like... So long after Vincent Price was alive.
Oh yeah, good call.
So I mean, unless I don't recall
after
that
Edward
music.
Scissorhands killed him.
Yeah,
right. Basically, literally.
Wow, that's a different topic. But the only connection I was going to say though was the music in Phantom Manor was made by Danny Elfman. I was already drawing comparisons, but obviously this is, you know. This has nothing to do with Phantom Manor, as it opened. I think it opened like 2011. This is long after that.
Yeah. I didn't realize growing up that all local theme parks didn't have a cool dark. You know, it was just like normal.
Right. Yeah. I think that's something important to point out. I mean, I grew up as a young child in New Jersey until I was 10, and there's Six Flags Great Adventure, which is, you know. Theme park, you know, I mean, at the amusement park, thrill rides. I don't recall any dark rides there at all in any possible way. It had Bugs Bunny Land, and, you know, it was just like off the shelf carnival rides there. This is definitely not normal to have something as cool as that, like that, at your local park.
Yeah, I think I didn't really realize growing up until I was, you know, until it was already gone how unique it really was, despite its ripoff tendencies.
But when I was 10 years old, I moved to Southern California, and then I was like, "Oh, this is the standard." You know, growing up going to Disneyland, it was like, "Oh, wow."
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of stopped going to the other part, and then I haven't been back to Great Adventure like 7 years or so, and you really feel how crappy it is. Because there's like this attempt at theming that's going on there.
Oh, gosh.
You know, like, it's sort of themed. I don't know. And then you're like, the thrill rides are, I mean, people just go there for the thrill rides and they don't really care, you know, so, but.
I guess that's really the crux of my issue with King's Island, is that I feel like I did see it go from a bona fide theme park to just an amusement park.
The theme was taken away. You were there during the prime of Paramount time, though, right?
Right. And see, it really started to decline just quickly. When Paramount still, people will say, oh, well, you know, Cedar Fair didn't do a lot of this. You know, Paramount still owned it up until 2010.
Oh, well, wow. Very recently, yeah.
The problem came when Paramount, when the ownership of CBS and Viacom and all that, you know, was getting shuffled around and stuff. And I can't remember what year it was, but it was the early, you know, early millennium.
Right.
They, you know, ownership of the theme parks, who was going to be running those divisions, that sort of thing was up in the air and getting shuffled around. And that's when things started to decline. So, you know, when Paramount was trying to do a good job, they did. It's when it just wasn't a priority for them anymore that things started to go, and I don't think that Cedar Fair has, they've certainly helped make the park look nice again, mm-hmm. but I don't think they've helped in the ways that I would like to have seen.
Do you know,
as far as maintaining a theme park.
Yeah, it's obviously not their agenda at all.
Right, yeah.
No, I mean, you had brought up this attraction to me, and I thought it was cool, and I think that I would like to kind of explore more local attractions that were inspired by Haunted Mansion or any Disney attraction, particularly the creepier ones, though. I kind of say, oh, it's ripping it off, but, you know, I can't make anything.
Right.
So, you know, it's pretty cool. I guess my slight criticism was saying, like, If you figure out how to do the tricks and the gags, like, just I would come up with different stuff,
right? Or maybe build on it somehow.
Yeah,
just something.
Because it just seems like some like you got all, it just seems like laziness kicked in at some point, really.
Yeah. But like I said, it kind of feels like an homage in some ways, so I'm not sure it wasn't lovingly ripped off.
Right, I mean, they worked at Disneyland, so I mean, you know.
Right, yeah, obviously they were fans.
And
I just think that's so cool. Let's start building up fake rides in our garage, and then next thing you know, we will be making them.
Yeah, all right, let's do it, no, you and I.
Deal.
All right. So, Annie, people can't get enough
James.
Of you. Yes. And they want to get in touch. They want to not get in touch. They want to listen to your get in touch, whatever. How did
whatever. Yeah, you can check us out. My podcast called Annie and Danny's Fast Pass Podcast. If you Google that or put it into iTunes, we will pop right up. And you can listen. You can also find me on Twitter at DJPhob. That's DJPHOB. And my blog, which I rarely update. It's bticketblog.com.
Yes, and you actually wrote about this track.
I did. I kind of want to retool it because I just don't like the entry so much anymore. I wrote it, you know, about like a year and a half ago, I think. But,
and you've grown so much in that year and a half.
I know, I really have. Gone from a boy to a man.
Sorry. But we'll link to the old article and then, you know, so people can check it out and see your boyhood writing.
Yes. Someday I'll write the man version eventually.
Well, thanks for sharing your Phantom Theater memories.
Yes, thanks for allowing me to share it with your listeners. I wish that they could go ride it now.
Well, the video's in the show notes, so we can virtually do it. Let's go for a ride. Why are you riding through a theater? Thanks again to Annie from Annie and Danny's Fast Pass Podcast for coming on the show. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can get in touch with the show by emailing creepykingdom@gmail.com. And please check out the other podcasts Monster Movie Media produces, such as the Even James of Podcasts Podcast and Roxy's World. You can find all of these shows by going to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest. All you gotta do is go to creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time.
Keep I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.